This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Friday afternoon, live this afternoon from National RX in this ever-changing world of college athletics. Aren't we glad we have mainstays like National RX in this sea of uncertainty, always here for us on Fridays on Fan Run Radio. And good to be back out here again this afternoon. Got some Smokies baseball tickets with me today. And the first two folks to come in today and say they are listening to Fan Run Radio are going to get a family four-pack of Tennessee Smokies tickets. These are field-level seat vouchers, good for any 2022 Smokies home game. So you can take a nine-inning vacation on Fan Run Radio. Stop by and see me today, folks. 11134 Kingston Pike, next to Wendy's in Farragut. And again, it is just a gorgeous day outside. Hope you are enjoying it. Thanks for tuning in to the program this afternoon. Gentlemen, we begin with a little breaking news. One of you guys please take us to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk. All right, very good, Bear. We start with a basketball commitment for Rick Barnes, four-star small forward DJ Jefferson of Minnesota Prep Academy has committed to Tennessee, according to On3 Sports. 6'5", Texas native, made a name for himself at the Iverson Classic All-Star Game in late April. He was committed to Tulsa and Frank Haith. Opened up his commitment after Haith got fired. Washington State was in on him, but once Tennessee came in, it was pretty much all said and done for Jefferson. And so he commits to Rick Barnes, and now there is only one scholarship remaining after a flurry of commitments here over the past week or so. Bear, what do you like about DJ Jefferson?
I really don't know much that much about the young man. Now I know that Coach Hutchins from Catholic was one of the coaches over there at the Allen Iverson thing, so reached out to him to get the scoop on the young man. So I don't know that much about him. I know he was like a top 50, number 77 consensus. So, but being the Drive, we'll go with top 50.
According to On3's Jamie Shaw, national recruiting analyst, Jefferson is a lefty with a smooth floor game, compact frame with burst at the rim, a shot maker. He has a smooth shot from three, attacks closeouts right and left, can get up on the rim. Consistent effort has been his main question mark. Upside to be an adequate defender both on and off the ball, is comfortable handling the ball in the half court, good balance when attacking the basket, can finish at the rim from multiple angles, has a lot of tools in his bag.
What was that phrase you used? I hadn't heard that one before. It gets up on the rim?
Gets up on the rim.
I like that one. I'm being told he's very good. Similar to like a little bit more bigger athletic version of Jordan Bowden. He's lefty.
It's a bold statement. Jordan Bowden is a terrific athlete. We'll see. He says, I get to the rim with ease, he told On3. I can get to any spot on the floor, get my teammates involved, and be a real good defender. I've been watching a lot of Anthony Edwards since he was in high school, picking a lot of how he scores. Interesting comparison there. So Tennessee lands DJ Jefferson, and now Rick Barnes, I guess, is just, I don't know, does it have to be a point guard, or at this point, with one scholarship available, are you just sort of looking at the old best player available?
I'm in no rush to fill it. If I'm them, I'd hold on to that and see if you have one ball in your lap like we did last summer with Zakai. And I mean, would it be the end of the world if there's not a guy out there that fits with the system? I don't see the point in bringing somebody in just to fill a slot and then have that kid transfer out.
Yeah, I agree. I think unless you're just blown away, don't take a guy to take a guy. He's got to fit the program, got to fit the system, and has to be able to make an impact, I would say. And I think you can be very, very selective with that last spot if you are Rick Barnes. All right, so good news for the basketball team is they start off with a commitment here. Good sign as we head into the weekend here on Fan Run Radio. Setting up the program today, we've got Trey Wallace set to join for his weekly appearance coming up here in just a few moments. And I'm sure he's going to want to get his take in on Jimbo versus the Nictator. Or Kirby jumped in today, or tried to anyway.
What an idiot that guy is. Kirby Smart. He sits on a throne of lies.
He sits on a throne, though. He is the defending national champion.
Yeah. I just think it's rich that the guys that are squealing the loudest are the ones that benefited the most from the old system.
Well, that should tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
That should tell you something. People at the top generally don't like change. The big music companies did not like the internet streaming services when they first came along because they had benefited under the old system, and now they're not benefiting as much. You don't see many blockbusters around anymore.
No, you don't.
They were not big fans of Netflix.
Mm-mm.
So, who knows? Maybe Kirby is Netflix and Nick Saban are the big record companies from the 1990s. Only time will tell. How about that baseball team last night? I mean, we're going to have to come up with a new nickname. That was beyond a barrel job that we broke out on Mississippi State in Starkville yesterday. I mean, you talk about pounding somebody's eye shut. That was a epic bludgeoning down there in Starkville.
Yeah. I mean, Coach Heupel thought that they should have called the, should have called the dogs off.
Was that worse than the beatdown Heupel put on Mizzou?
Yes. Because it was pretty much, I went back, I saw it was on Twitter last night, the run scored by inning. And that was just remember when Hank beat the hell out of Jesse in Breaking Bad, Russ?
Yeah. Yeah, that was sudden. It was violent. And it ended up costing Hank his job. So I don't know if we want to go with that analogy necessarily right off the top. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to go ahead and walk back my has the baseball team run out of momentum question. I know Mississippi State is down, but I'm sorry. 27-1 is 27-1-2, whatever it was. I mean, I turned it off at a certain point and was watching the basketball game last night. I mean, that was just an epic, epic bludgeoning by Tony V and the Baseballs. We'll see if they if Mississippi State has anything left in the tank, if they could bounce back, hopefully Tennessee can nail down this series win tonight. I'll say this. We have one. You always see something you never see or you've never seen before mm-hmm. with this Tennessee baseball team. And I'm starting to get interested after the fifth inning when we realized that our boy Dolander, Dolly, or Doe, as Tony Vitello likes to call him, has got a no-hitter going. And he's only thrown like 50 pitches. And so we get into this conversation. We have all the time now, and I can't stand this conversation. I'm glad we didn't really have to see what happened, mm-hmm. what Tony was going to do, because you get in the conversation. Do you let him roll? Do you let him chase the no-no? Or do you put him on a pitch count and pull him out? And as it turns out, like, the decision was taken out of Tony Vitello's hands, basically. I mean, I guess he could have sent him back out there. But Tennessee's top of the seventh last night took almost 40 minutes. It was almost 40 minutes long. Maybe it's happened in like the high school level or something like that, but I've never seen, certainly the professional level and not at the college level, a no-hitter basically broken up because the pitcher's team was hitting for so long that the pitcher got cold over there in the dugout. Now, if that had been a normal inning, say we score a run or two and you send seven or eight guys up to the plate, and Dolander's he's sitting down for 15, 20 minutes. I say bring him out there, man. He had only thrown like 60. What did he throw? 67 pitches?
Yeah. I would have kept him on a pitch count, though.
I mean, you're soft. You're soft. This whole world's gone soft.
No.
I can't believe we even have to have these conversations anymore. What happened to this game? What happened to this game? A no-hitter is one of the most special
this game
in the sport. And you send a guy out there and let him pitch, man. How often do you get a chance to throw a no-hitter in an SEC baseball game?
Buddy, last time I checked, Dolander's parents are probably paying half his tuition. He's not getting paid to pitch for Tennessee. And you protected the kid's future. Go out there. I mean, granted, if it hadn't gone that long, I was fine with him going to whatever Coach Vitello and Coach Anderson, whatever they said is the pitch count for a kid, but going a little bit over it. But
look, man, if that seventh inning hadn't gone on for 40 minutes and he hadn't been sitting over there for a while and say it's a 1-2-3-7. Say it's a 15-minute top of the seventh or so, and they're going to send him back out there. And he goes out there and mows him down 1-2-3, just like he had been doing, because he was on a roll, man. I mean, he was in a flat-out groove. At that point, you got to let him go, because you ask the kid. I mean, he's going to tell you he wants to go. And I get the pitch counts and Tommy John, and we got to save the guys and – oh, his parents are paying and all this stuff you could tell. You know, guys used to pitch back before the age of analytics, back before Billy Bean and Moneyball came along. Like, this wasn't a conversation anybody had. And I would submit to you, I don't have the data on this, but I would submit to you that there are just as many, if not more, pitching arm injuries now in the age of analytics and pitch counts and the data and all that stuff. I would submit to you that there are just as many, probably more people having arm injuries and Tommy John surgery now as there was back in the day when we didn't have this stupid question about, should I pull a guy who's got a no-no going?
I don't know. Call me crazy. We're beating a team, pounding their eyes shut, as you said. In the last series of the year, heading into the postseason with on the cusp of possibly, maybe, we'll have to see how it plays out, one of the greatest college baseball teams to ever take the field. And you're wanting to, you know, run the risk of burning our number one's arm on a no-hitter against Mississippi State. Yeah, that's what you're saying, buddy.
No.
You're saying we're all soft.
No, don't tell me what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. I'll tell you. I'll speak for me. Thank you. I don't need you to speak for me. I'll speak for me. What I said was, I'm fine with it because of the circumstances. When you're winning 27-0 and you've been sitting there for 40 minutes, this is a different conversation. And so nobody's mad about it. I'm not mad about it. But if it were in the middle of the season and it weren't the week before the tournament and it was a 2-0 game instead of a 20-0 game or whatever it was where they pulled him, let it ride, man. Let the kid chase his no-no. What are we doing here? It's baseball. Let him compete. Let him go out there and make history. Poor country's gone soft. Anyway, we got a big show lined up for you this afternoon. Trey Wallace is set to join the festivities when we continue. We'll check your PGA Championship leaderboard as well. Live this afternoon at National RX, I've got Tennessee Smokies field level seat vouchers. Again, the first two people to come in and say they're listening to Fan Run Radio this afternoon are going to pick up family four packs of tickets to go see Smokies baseball. 9-inning vacations up for grabs at Smokies Park, courtesy of your friends here at Fan Run Radio and National RX. Back with more right after this. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Streaming live this afternoon at fanrunradio.com. And the free Fan Run app, a variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. Rick Barnes has released a statement today on DJ Jefferson. Quote, DJ is a lot of fun to be around. He's got an engaging personality and infectious positive energy. That energy really translates to the basketball court. He's an exciting player in transition who loves getting out in the open court. DJ is also a high-level defender with big shoulders and long wingspan. I think Tennessee fans will love getting to know him and watching him compete. We bring in Trey Wallace this afternoon for his weekly appearance on the show. Trey, of course, found at OutKick.com. Good afternoon, Trey. How are you, sir?
What's up, buddy? They got him signed pretty quick. Got his name submitted. They can release the press release as soon as possible. So that was that's good for Tennessee to add another piece to the 2022 class.
Signed, sealed, and delivered. Now there's one spot remaining, and we'll see what happens there. Of course, the Tyrese Hunter thing is pretty interesting with what's going on at Kansas, and you know, just where is Tennessee? How much does NIL figure in all that stuff? But Trey, I mean, just looking at it now with the additions of Jefferson, Awaka, and Tyreek Key so far, do you think that this
Julian
Tennessee
Phillips.
Basketball, Julian Phillips, yeah, I'm sorry, probably leaving out the biggest one there. Do you think this Tennessee basketball roster is improved from last season, a little bit of a step back, or is it a wash?
No, I think they've set themselves up real nicely. I mean, you saw the guys that left the team or, you know, found some other spot to go play and earn more minutes, and I think that they have replaced them, and I think that they have done a really good job at finding point production as well. I mean, you know, one of the problems that Tennessee at times would run into last season was what they would get out of their forwards, just because you saw how the point guards and even the three spot came about last season, and I think they've addressed that. I think they've done a really good job of hitting the portal, but also, you know, taking care of things in the 2022 class when they had all these spots available. And, you know, it just feels like Rick Barnes had a plan of how to attack this thing in the early parts of summer, which he has done. We haven't even hit June yet, and Tennessee's roster feels about right at the moment. And we'll see what they do with that one last spot. Who knows? Maybe they go find a diamond in the rough over the next 2 months and they get somebody brought on. But nice job by Rick Barnes and his staff of pulling this thing off.
Trey, I know you want to comment on what we saw yesterday break out in the world of college football and this week with Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher. Something tells me the final chapter of this rivalry, of this story, is yet to be written.
Your thoughts on who won round one of Jimbo versus Saban this week?
It was just so weird Wednesday night. And we were kind of discussing it last night, me and you, and during the baseball game. And, you know, the fact that Nick Saban came out and said it directly and kind of outed a team, per se, that surprised me. Like, I would have, you know, if he would have said, okay, well, look, there's multiple schools and you guys have read about it that have handled NIL certain ways compared to others, like, I think I would have been okay with that. But it was weird when he kind of broke the code of not naming other schools or naming other coaches. Because you don't see that. Let's be honest. You don't see that in college football. I mean, even Lane Kiffin, you know, he was kind of joking around and talking about a bunch of money being spent by one school. But he never really attacked the school or said, okay, this is why it's wrong. And look who benefited from it the most. And he said A&M. And, you know, so I didn't like that out of Saban, but I don't know. You know, I've been going back and forth on this, too. Like, did Saban get up there? And that was an 8.5-minute rant. I mean, it was pretty much like 8.5 minutes. So did he get up there and he just starts talking about it and he kind of gets in a rhythm? You got Nate Oates next to him who's nervously shaking his leg while Nick Saban is talking. And then does Saban just kind of decide, okay, screw it, we're going to go down the Texas A&M route? Like, I don't know. It's just the timing felt weird watching that whole video back and the whole speech. I think when you look at what Jimbo did, I knew that was coming. Like, a statement was going to be released or he was going to do something. He was going to go on the radio somewhere in College Station and go off and, well, they just decided to hold a press conference. And, you know, I think that the way that he attacked Nick Saban, here's the thing. Saban attacked his program, okay? Saban attacked and called out his program. Jimbo Fisher turned around and just went straight in on Nick Saban. Like, just, I mean, the words that he was using, despicable, and he thinks he's the czar of college football. And he thinks he walks on water and he's a godlike figure. Goodness gracious. I mean, you didn't hold back, bro. So, you know, and then you've got the SEC that quietly told head coaches around the conference, hey, do not do interviews. Do not talk about this. It's just, I think we're just getting started with this thing. And we've got 9 days until we're going to be in Destin for the spring meetings. And this is going to be a hot topic, and you're not going to be able to run from it down in Destin. That's the biggest thing. You can try to no comment all you want, but there's going to be a lot of back channeling talk down there and getting people's opinions. And that, I don't know about you, Russ and Barrett, but that was the craziest darn press conference I've seen in a very long time compared to like Derek Dooley talking about World War II. It was bad.
For me, I mean, the only thing that comes close to that was the Cheney Calipari, when Cheney basically, correct me if I'm wrong, Russ, threatened to kill John Calipari.
Yeah, he said, "Come at me, bro. Keep my name out your mouth."
Well, Jimbo kind of coaching said that too.
Like, that might be a topic we have to explore here. Best coaching rivalries in sports. I'll chew on that for a minute. Go ahead, Trey.
The best part about it is when Jimbo said, "Well, I'm not afraid of confrontation," when talking about the SEC spring meetings. And then he said, you know, if I'd have acted up like that, my old man would have slapped me upside the head. And then he said, well, somebody should have slapped Nick upside the head. And it's like, okay, wow, we just hit a new level. So, you know, this is what the sport needed, I guess, in a sense, a little bit of a jolt. But, man, I didn't expect it to come out of College Station, and I sure didn't expect it to come from a charity event Wednesday night in Birmingham, Alabama.
So I missed, you said, has the gag order come down from Birmingham? I've been out running around today. Sankey has let it be known he doesn't want any more comments on this.
Lane Kiffin, and I followed this up in a conversation with somebody today. Lane Kiffin was scheduled to appear on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today. And their producer, what's his name, Paul Bass, He tweeted out that the SEC said that Kiffin could not come on the show. That they have put in a no interview order.
I mean, in all fairness, thank you, boys. Do we really blame him for not wanting Kiffin on the air today?
Oh, I could see his blood pressure spiking when he saw that that interview was going to go down. He's like, yeah, that's all I need. I would argue, though, Trey, I mean, I just think that this is good publicity for the league. I know Sankey's a real straight arrow and wants to protect the, you know, integrity of the brand and all that stuff. But I would argue this is great publicity for the conference. College football has a lot of problems with NIL and the transfer portal right now. On the field, it has a real problem with parity or lack thereof, which is interesting because, you know, that's what Saban was hypocritically moaning about earlier this week. But I think that there are just a lot of people, you know, there isn't as much pop, off-season pop to the college football conversation as there typically is this time of year because there's only three or four teams that have a realistic shot at winning the championship next year. And I feel like this story, this kerfluffle, has been the biggest college football topic of the year so far. I feel like it's one of those any publicity is good publicity things, and Sankey should be glad for it.
I don't disagree at 2 points. I don't know if maybe Sankey was thinking, all right, boys, let's hold this off until we have our own platform, which is SEC spring meetings in a week and a half in Destin. The other instance of this thing too is in a time where this is NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, PGA championship, all this Preakness, everything going on this week. What is the number one story? The Southeastern Conference. And yeah, so I would say, yeah, Greg Sankey's probably a little agitated that Saban called out Jimbo, and then Jimbo came back and threatened to whip his rear end and, you know, all that type of stuff. But deep down inside, hey, man, any publicity is good publicity, especially when all we're doing is talking about NIL guidelines from the NCAA. So, you know, yes. Here's the thing, too. Can you imagine if A&M is pretty decent to start the season in September, and Alabama is undefeated in September, then them boys play on October 8th. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, now you have to treat this like you're Don King and you're promoting a fight that's 3 months away. Like, you got to temper everybody's expectations, and then as we get closer and closer, which will be SEC Media Days in Atlanta, that's when things can start popping off and all the excitement can start again and you start building up to that matchup. So, I mean, this is going to be fun. I'm telling you, it will be.
You know, the other interesting thing about yesterday, and I haven't heard anybody mention this, and I don't listen to everything, so maybe somebody has. But for all the bickering and arguing and, you know, parsing Jimbo's language and, oh my God, he said despicable 14 times or whatever. What people have been talking about is that from a substance standpoint, these guys are saying the exact same thing. They actually agree on the issue at hand, because go back and listen to like the very end of Jimbo's presser yesterday. The last thing he says, and he almost kind of like mutters it under his breath. He's like, yeah, we got to get Congress involved or something and just have a firm level playing field as far as the rules are concerned. That's exactly what Saban said. So they both are aware of there's issues that the sport has to work through. And they're both in favor of congressional action or somebody stepping into the leadership void and coming up with a plan that everybody agrees upon. And okay, here are the rules. I found that part very interesting. They essentially agree. They're just bickering about, they obviously don't like each other.
I respect Nick Saban's opinion on it. In the fact that when he brought up Miami, he brought up something really, he made the good point that the Miami situation, when they signed Nigel Pack and that lawyer down there, John Reeves, tweeted out, you know, $400,000, whatever, $800,000 over 2 years. There's no way to like Nick Saban said, they're not breaking any laws. Like, so the NCAA or somebody needs some kind of legislation where they say, okay, well, this stuff can't happen because it's legal. What happened down in Miami with that player is legal because you're not breaking any laws. It's the same thing every other coach is talking about, quietly behind the scenes. Like, hey, look, we're going to take advantage of the rules that are in place right now because there's not any laws that we're breaking. So I agree with it on that standpoint. And Jimbo, I think, does as well. But I think Jimbo very much benefited from everything that's gone down the last 6 months. And this is what I told somebody yesterday. I said, hey, man, look, if you don't think Jimbo Fisher is doing some shady stuff in College Station, if you don't think Nick Saban's doing shady stuff in Tuscaloosa, if you don't think Heupel's doing shady stuff here in Knoxville, taking advantage of the rules that are in place, you're just crazy and you're delusional and you're not on the same page as everybody else. If you can take advantage of the rules that are in place right now, then take advantage of the rules. And if that means you got a couple teams sneaking up on you a little bit quicker with players than it would with the previous way that recruiting went down, then so be it. Because the previous way was you're dropping off a bag at a kid's house or you're meeting a kid at a hotel at 11 o'clock at night and you're paying him, are you meeting up on campus and there's envelopes in the locker room or they're making phone calls. Like, okay, you can go back to that if you want. We'll get rid of all this. Go back to that. But I think this new way is the way to do it because you're going to have to be as shady in the process. So, I mean, it is what it is. Everybody is doing it. It's just folks have got to start realizing that and think, okay, one school is not doing it, but the other school is. These kids down at Alabama, they're not just rolling around in Porsches and brand new 4Runners and, Chargers. Same thing at Tennessee, same thing at A&M. They're not just doing that, because they have enough money in the bank to go out and purchase this type of stuff. These NIL collectives are taking care of a lot of this stuff. And once people start, understanding that fully, I think you'll be able to grasp what's going on a little bit better, whether you like it or not.
All right, Trey, last thing. We'll let you out of here. Looking ahead to 2023, we're going to put you on the hot seat. Your opinion.
Oh, man.
When Tennessee comes out of the tunnel at crumbling Nissan Stadium to kick off the 2023 season against Tony Elliott's Virginia Cavaliers, who will be the starting quarterback for our Volunteers? Will it be Jovathrow Milton? Will it be Taven Jackson? Will it be Nico Iyama Pajama? Or will it be someone else? Your thoughts.
Taven Jackson.
Ooh.
Starting quarterback. Not saying he's be the starting quarterback for the whole season, but starting quarterback to start the 2023 season. As of right now, that's who I'm going with. I've heard a lot of really good things about that kid in his first spring. If he can carry that over this summer, carry that into fall camp, get all the reps he can get, run the scout team, continue learning that offense, I'm just telling you, I don't care how much money you paid Nico Pajama Llama, as you call him now, and the kid is good. Josh Heupel will not risk his future at the University of Tennessee if he has got a better quarterback on the sidelines compared to the kid that's making all the money. Just ain't happening.
And isn't that that is going to be so fascinating to watch? Because Tennessee's not the only school that's going to have to deal with this. If sports, you're going to have a meritocracy, right? And the best player is going to play, and these guys want to keep their $4 or $5 million a year jobs. They have to pay the best player, but now they've got all this other influence to consider. I'm not going to say they worry about it, because at the end of the day, I think Heupel and most coaches are going to play the best player, but that is going to lead to situations where you've got these kids who were speculated upon in the recruiting process and given these huge NIL deals riding the bench while better players play ahead of them. And then what happens then? It's going to be really interesting.
We haven't, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, I haven't seen anything that Nico could do. The kid's going into a senior year of high school. Like, I know how all the experts think he's really good. And I look, I don't say he's not. He is. He's got a great arm. Looks like he can read the field really well. Great kid, whatever. How these kids are going to react when they get on campus and have to go up against juniors and seniors and practice and learning playbooks and all this type of stuff. So it's hard for me to say, okay, well, Nico, since he's a five-star and since he's been paid all this amount of money and to come in and play at Tennessee, he's going to be the starting quarterback. What am I basing that off of? His junior year of high school? Sophomore year of high school? No, I need to see a little bit more. And then continue on, and he'll do his thing. And if he's good enough, he'll start. But as of this moment, I would think the kid that would already be in the system for almost 2 years would have a leg up on the kid that's coming in.
I agree.
I just think that
over a year to talk about it, huh?
Yeah, we got a year to talk about it. Look, Tennessee fans need to worry about Tony Vitello tonight and being on taking care of Mississippi State, taking the series, and going down to Hoover next week, taking care of business, and figuring out this path to Omaha. That should be on the mind of Tennessee fans right now, not what Nico's going to do, you know, in a year and a half or what, you know, or how the team's going to look. Even though they shouldn't have canceled that game against BYU, that's just my opinion because I want them to go to Provo. So, just my opinion.
All right, we can still go to Provo. I mean, we just go hang out and watch a BYU game, maybe on Tennessee's off week, something like that.
We can go to Provo and watch BYU play Arkansas.
Hey. There you go. Trey, sounds good, my man. Appreciate you.
Guys, have a great weekend. Thanks so much, and y'all be well. We'll talk soon.
Trey Wallace of OutKick. His appearance today brought to you by our friends at Jets Pizza. We appreciate them for hooking us up with some food here today. I was going to say a slice. I don't know. I guess a square. You don't have a slice. You got a square when you get the piping hot Jets Pizza. At least when you get the deep dish. I guess you could get a slice. You can get it round. But we got the deep dish out here this afternoon. If you're looking for a little something to munch on while you watch the baseballs tonight, the NBA playoffs, the PGA, whatever it is, might I humbly suggest our friends over at Jets Pizza, 11124 Kingston Pike in Farragut. They are literally a two-minute walk from where I sit here today at National Law Rex. They do great pizza, great cinnamon sticks, dessert brownies, stuff like that. They do great calzones, the Jets boat. They do great wings as well. Check out that Wednesday night wing deal for dine-in customers only. Half-price wings every Wednesday at Jets Pizza in Farragut. Call 865-675-0505 to have it delivered. Jets Pizza in Farragut. We open up the phone lines to you. 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to hop on board. The drive continues. Back with more right after this.
The Drive. Citizens National Bank.
Welcome back. Drive continues. Fan Run Radio coming to you live this afternoon from National RX in Farragut. Russell Smith with you here. Bears in the Bears Den. Marcus and Jake back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios as we open up the phone lines here. 865-546-8200. Your number to jump in. And Carter is next. Hello, Carter.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Hey, going well. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. I'm on my way to a gig here in the mid-state, so I can't complain. And just jumping on, sorry if I'm hitting on stuff we've already talked about, but last night, I mean, they were just playing on a different difficulty. I mean, that was insane.
Back to back to back jacks to open it up in the first inning. And Tennessee, never looked back. I mean, that was good because it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had one of those barrel jobs. I know Tuesday against Belmont, but that's Belmont. It's a midweek game. So to have two of those in a row and Dolander hitting his stride the way he is, and now we got Burns coming off an extra rest week. I mean, really excited to see where this team goes from here headed into postseason.
So my question to that is, should we be concerned that the bats are not hot in the respect of what everyone else in the world thinks they are, but the bats are so hot right now as opposed to next weekend?
Hey, I just hope they didn't use them all up last night. It's like in basketball, you know, when a team makes a bunch of threes in a tournament, it's like, oh, save some for later. Let's not use them all up here today, boys.
Exactly. One more question for you, and this is kind of just speculating. I know Sankey came out and gave the weakest response ever to yesterday's 15 rounds between the two coaches. But if that happened between, say, Heupel and Kiffin, do you think the SEC comes at them way harder with how coaches are supposed to behave? And I'll shut up and listen. Go Vols.
Thank you, Carter. Of course. We'll make an example out of them.
Here's the thing. I don't think – call me crazy. I can't imagine Josh Heupel, after having to get to know him for about a year and a half now, I can't see him ever doing that either way.
Well, he doesn't have enough equity to talk that way yet. And I think that's part of what's going on with Saban here is he knows he's at the end of his career. Jimbo's just an opportunist. He sees an opportunity to get up there and grandstand and make himself look like a great father figure for recruits out there. He's going to take it. Saban, he's at that point in his career where there's nothing going to happen to him. He knows Sankey's not going to do anything. He knows his university isn't going to do anything. So he's just going to speak his mind, and that's fine. But, yeah, I mean, to answer the caller's question, if it's Heupel or Kiffin or somebody, I mean, we saw the way Slive came down on Kiffin in 09. Yeah, I mean, if it's somebody else, they're gonna come down hard. I mean, I think it was kind of a joke, a reprimand. Ooh, Big Greg Sankey issuing a reprimand yesterday. Let's get Phil in here next. Phil, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Morning, sir. I'm here.
What's up, Philly?
Hey, you, Bear Bryant, Jake the Snake, and Marcus Dunn.
Fantastic. Hope you are too, brother.
I have had two beers, and I told Marcus I'm going to have more.
Phil, it's 3:51 in the afternoon, man. Pace yourself now.
I will. I got to stop and not drink while I'm calling, though. But
he is pacing himself for us.
It's all about limitations.
Y'all talking about Russell yesterday saying Jim Bob Cooter was a great coach. He's not even good as Kirby Fart.
Jim Bob Cooter? Jimbo?
Yeah.
They got the same number of natties.
Yeah, but Jimbo has not won an SEC, has he?
He has not.
Exactly. And Saban is just rallying the fan base to get more money down there in Alabama. They say Jim Bob was buying players, and now it's time for the Alabama to get back to their basics and buy more players like they've done the history of their program.
Nothing's going to change for Alabama. Nick Saban was rallying the troops, and I'm sure they heard the message loud and clear. We need more money so that we can compete in this new environment on this new playing field, and it's going to happen. Those folks are going to open up the checkbooks. He's going to get the money he needs, and he's going to continue. All Jimbo did yesterday with his little diatribe was poke the bear. And I have a feeling the bear is going to tear him apart in Tuscaloosa this season.
Yeah, I agree with you, but that was a big commitment today. That kid, Warbear got his, Jordan Bowden's a good comparison. He's going to be better than Jordan Bowden. I've seen him down in Memphis.
We'll see.
The guy's a real deal. Holyfield.
Wow. I mean, that's a bold statement. Jordan Bowden, yeah. Very underrated for his time
player.
Here, I will say. So.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
And BJ will be better than Jordan Bone. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Woo.
Tennessee's not going to have no problem at point guard this year.
Bold words from the mayor of South Knoxville this afternoon.
ZZ, they got ZZ and BJ, and they got BJ and DJ. And you got Julian Phillips. I mean, NIL come in handy, didn't it?
Well, I thought Rick Barnes couldn't recruit. I thought he didn't want to do NIL. That's what I was told.
Well, I'd say he likes it there, don't you?
He seems to be doing just fine.
Yeah, next week they're going to get a commitment next week.
From who?
They're going to get a four-star out of Alabama. The top player in Alabama's going, for the 23 class is going to commit to Tennessee next week.
Okay, Cade Phillips?
Yeah.
That'd be a nice pickup.
And then Justin Edwards has been feature cast to Tennessee, and he's a five-star, top 10 player in America.
Wow. I was told that Rick Barnes can't recruit. I was told that he was on cruise control, heading into retirement, didn't want to fool with the NIL. So this is all very surprising to me, Phil.
Well, Rick Barnes can recruit because he's got 30 players in the NBA. One problem is when March gets here, he don't know how to coach. Put that in the pipe and smoke it. See?
God.
Don't trip on my sarcasm. I was told that Rick Barnes can't recruit, Bear. He doesn't want to do NIL. Can't put together a roster. Game's passed him by. That was what they told me. The game has passed him by. Now, there is a kernel of truth to what Phil said there. You don't have to worry about him putting together a roster. You just got to worry about what happens in March, and he'll get another crack at it next year. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. We'll send things back to Jake for the top four at four when we continue live from National Law Rex. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
A good night's sleep. We all want one.